And welcome to another episode, another exciting episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. This is John.
This is Jamie.
I can see your enthusiasm at identifying ourselves is still in here with us.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be talking about amplifiers, electric guitar amplifiers specifically, because I don't really give a damn about bass amplifiers or keyboard amplifiers or power amplifiers.
Or acoustic guitar amplifiers.
Well, eventually we might give a damn about that, but today we're not.
I'll never give a damn about that.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
We just have no interest in it?
It begins and ends with electric guitars.
Okay, so for all of you out there who may or may not be aware, we're basically two guys who love guitars, love gear, are probably obsessed with too much of it in many ways, and have spent way too much of our lives thinking about what works and what doesn't, and spending way too much of our money.
It comes with the territory.
Yeah. Okay, comes with the territory. That's my Stoic friend, by the way. Stoicism, just as a quick sidebar, Stoicism is defined as being a follower of the tenets of the philosopher Zeno. You realize that?
So didn't realize
we that. We are Zenites at this point, Stoically.
Happy to be a Zenite.
Zenite. Okay, so amplifiers. There's commercial amplifiers. There's Fender and Marshall, those two camps. There's the whole boutique Dumble clone, single channel, low wattage, high wattage. Do you want me to start it? Would that be useful?
It seems that you already have.
So, really? Yeah. I can see we're in this direction today. Would you like some coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee.
I don't either. Damn it. I'm a Fender guy. Always have been. In general, the voicing of the amps, even the boutique amps that I've owned, have been voiced Fender style. You know?
Right. I have both.
That's because you're a better guitar player than I am, though.
Well, you know, and I don't really know too many guitar players that don't own both types of amps, you know, both types being Fender or Marshall. You can't do that. That distracts me, and it's going to make me talk differently.
No, I was raising my hand.
Yeah,
indicating I'm not.
You say something? Go ahead.
Oh, no, no, I was, I was, I, then, oh, you, no, oh. You said, I don't know anybody who doesn't have both, and I was raising my hand.
Oh,
I'm...
Well, the reason being is they both do different things, and the reason why this whole Fender versus Marshall thing is so silly is because there are, like, thousands of amplifiers now. Everyone's making an amplifier.
That's true.
Everyone and their cousin is making an amp. And I'm of the opinion, of the Stoic opinion, that they are either, they're based off of one of the two platforms. They're really just, when you get down to their basic elements, it's either a Fender type amp or a Marshall type amp. Hell, a Marshall is a Fender.
That's correct.
You know.
That's correct. But the transformer, I believe, is different. Structure is different.
Well, eventually that's what it became. But, you know, the original Marshalls were knocked off of the basement circuit.
Right, that's right. The JTM 45s or
yeah, the original JTM 45s. I mean, you know, they didn't have ready access to the 6L6s in England, so they used KT88s, and of course some of the other things were going to be different as well, like transformers and all that.
Do you hear, like, I hear like a difference in the overtone series of how Marshall tubes and the rectifier and the whole assembly comes together in terms of, like, for example, for me, the reason I like Fender amps is I lean towards clean sounds over distorted sounds because I like the chord work thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, like, Ted Green was always an inspiration because with his little deluxe or with his twin, he was always able to get these huge ringing, chiming sounds. And for me Eric Johnson's a great example. He uses specifically those amps for that clean, ringing sound. And then for distorted sounds, where the signals being overdriven, he goes to Marshall because the overtones and the way the whole distortion circuit works is a better, warmer thing for his idea, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. I think different people get different things out of the amps. They certainly do their thing differently. You know, I mean, people just tend to associate Fender amps with, like, it's the clean amp. It's, you know, but there was a lot about Marshalls that was, you know, Marshalls can be incredibly clean and headroomy, almost to the point where they're hard. They have a hard feel unless you turn them up and overdrive them.
See, now I've never owned a Marshall, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I've never owned a Marshall.
Wow. Yeah. I have an old Plexi. And it's a brutally loud amp. And until you turn it up, it doesn't even feel good to play through, which is the thing about, like, you know, say a deluxe, lower wattage amp. completely different vibe, you know, but you can play it at a lower volume and make it feel right.
Right.
You know.
I know the twin thing always for me worked. I love the twin. It's just the weight of the twin was a problem. But I did the Roy Buchanan thing where you turn the, you know, the amp around backwards mm-hmm. so that you're not being blasted out of your mind.
Yeah.
And then you can get that really big warm sound with the tube screamer or something in front of the twin to get both, to get sort of the best of both worlds. So, you know, you can do.
Yeah. Didn't Dwayne Allman do that as well? I think he told
a lot of guys did.
Like, would turn the amp around, or at least mic the back of the cabinet or something like that. But that can also, if you're doing, you know, miking more than one amp, you can get phasing issues that way.
Yeah, one of the funniest videos I ever saw was Roy Buchanan was playing, and he's playing Circle in the Round.
Yeah.
And so his amps are facing the back of the stage, but there is no actual back of the stage. Right. There was an actual audience, and you can see the hair on the women and the men being blown back by the volume from the twin.
See faces
as it faces, their faces are being peeled off because the amp is facing the audience at the back of the quote unquote back of the stage.
Yeah.
But like, for example, like, let's look at the boutique amps for a second. You know, like, you know, there are different voicing stack approaches that are occurring. About what I look for in an amp is
now when you say voicing stack, what do you mean?
Like the way overall EQ of the amp as your guitar signal goes through it and how it treats your guitar signal.
Okay.
There are EQ circuits that are just sort of, you know, here's neutral, and then we kind of go from there. And you know, each amp maker has his own sense of what makes sense. Like a 65 amp does not sound the same to me as a Fuchs, for example. You know, in the same way, like a Fender Twin doesn't sound the same to me as a JTM 45. I mean, there's a huge difference in the way what happens the minute I plug my guitar into it and the color of my guitar coming out of the amplifier in neutral with no EQ pushing and pulling.
So much of that for me is the, you know, output transformer and operating voltages within the amp. You know, that's where a lot of that takes place. You know, like the reason that a deluxe and a super, or that's not even a good example, even a say like a bassman versus a super.
Okay.
You know, the reason those two sound different and feel different is because it has more to do with the voltages that the tubes are running out, the power tubes are running out, which affects what happens as you turn the amp up.
Wasn't that the Eddie Van Halen thing where he was like overriding what the normal bias would be, and so he was melting the tubes, but he was getting a certain kind of sound?
Well, he was using a variac and turning down. There was, you know, Eddie's gone on record and saying that he was actually turning the variac up, but then a personal conversation was like, oh no, that was bullshit. I was just saying that to the mixing. I was actually turning it down to 90 volts.
It's funny because I heard a similar story with Eddie Kramer about microphones. Like Eddie Kramer was asked about, you know, miking Hendrix's guitars and how he got that sound with an SM57 because no one can figure out how he did it.
Yeah.
And the comment was something to the effect of, and I'm not sure this is a true story or not, but the comment to the effect was, I didn't use SM57s when I used ribbon microphones to get those sounds. But you see Hendrix photographed with a lot of 57s because he's playing hugely loud amps in big open stages. And the 57 wouldn't feed back. But it's like how people got their sounds and what happened. Something you said I want to touch on, which is really important, is this idea of feel. Because a lot of people talk about this idea of sag and the way the amp responds to touch and the whole Dumble mythology of, you know, touch sensitivity and dynamics and sustain. But the truth is I've seen a lot of the guys who are great players can play on any amp and sound exactly the same. You're one of them. Like I've never really actually heard you sound different. But what I do know is that certain amps are easier to play. Like they make it easier for us to do what we like to do and hear what we like to hear. But I'm wondering if that's something that's quantifiable. Like for me, like more consistently than not, I found that that Fender style amps allow me to do the thing I do with my hands that make it easier for me to sound like me that I want to hear. Right. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I have a friend that used the term finger friendly.
Some
amps are definitely more finger friendly. They make it, you know, it's almost like the response time of the amp is quicker.
Finger friendly. That's great.
Yeah. You don't have to, you know, dig in as hard or work as hard and, you know, but yeah, that's one of those things. And I think a lot of amp builders that aren't actual guitar players, that's something they don't get. And that's something they tend to miss. And, you know, something that has to eventually be described to them either by their clients or by, you know, or if they do start playing, they can, and they play a bunch of different amps, they can realize that, wow, my amp is lacking something. It's just, it doesn't have this response and this touch sensitivity, these dynamics at these other amps.
And there's other things too. Like it can be not pedal friendly, which is a really strange concept to me. Yeah. That some amp designers actually make amps that aren't pedal friendly, but most guys are using pedals. I mean, it's just a fact.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Everyone's. I mean, with the exception of maybe, you know, Derek Trucks, you know, who's not using pedal, you know.
Yeah.
But some amp guys.
He doesn't use a pedal?
No, we did some shows with him. We did a few festivals with him, and he was never using any pedals. He was just plugging straight into, was it a super
really?
Reverb, I think. Yeah.
No distortion, just that sound he gets.
He's just cranking the amp up and backing his volume down on his guitar. That was his.
That's amazing.
When he would go to solo, he'd just turn up and go.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's truly an amazing.
Not even a compressor. And for a guy that plays slide, you'd think he'd use a lot of
compressor. Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I've had a couple of good, like Andy Fuchs makes a really interesting amp. I like it. Seriotone, I've had really good success with their. I had that one Dumble clone for a long time that I actually really liked a lot. I had a really good. I ended up with Snuffy Walden, who I love to pieces. But right now I'm playing a Fender amp, and you know I think it for my purposes it does a really good thing. You know, the amp I always really like is your Jim Kelly.
Yeah, it's an amazing amp. Yeah, that's a great.
What would you say that's is like Fendery or is it more Marshally or is it?
It's more. Well, here's the thing. It's more of a. It's I think it's kind of. Based on a Fender platform, but the way that he was running the output tubes was different than a traditional Fender. You know, it was a 6V6 output section, but he was running the 6V6s at an incredibly high play voltage that sort of put the tubes on the verge of red plating almost. And that's why, you know, back when the amps were originally made, you'd have a lot of them that would blow up.
Oh.
Because of that. But that's what gave them their sound. You crank them up, and it's just an amazing... Sonically, they're great. The feel of them when you turn them up is just... It's like nothing else, you know? So that's, again, that's one of the differences. That's where it's like, well, I'm going to basically take this. You know, at the end of the day, and that's a term that I hate, but at the end of the day... There's
which is usually
only,
the beginning of the gig, by the way.
What's that?
At the end of the day is usually the beginning of the gig.
Yes. But that's where, you know, there's only so many circuits out there. You know, a lot of these circuits are basically the same. A lot of the basic ideas for making an amplifier, for doing amplification, is based off of, you know, just a handful of basic schematics. And from there, it's like, you know, what are you doing with the tone stack? You know, operating voltages, output transformers, you know, things like that. That's where the real differences from the amps lie. You know, what tubes are you running? What output tubes are you running? You know, the basic architecture of most amplifiers is pretty much the same.
But there's still what that amazing phenomenon to me is where you get guys like Robin Ford who sound exactly the same playing through a tiny little nothing amp like a Champ. Or Dumble, and they sound exactly the same. And when I hear you play, I know that for you there's feel differences and finger-friendly differences, but the sound of your guitar, like, again, the perfect example is you and I on the same guitar, on the same amp, always sound like you and me. You sound good. I sound kind of off and a little strange and off-putting.
Well, I mean, it's in the hands. It's all in the hands. I mean, Eric Johnson... Is like when I was touring with ZPZ, Eric Johnson would come when we play through Texas. When we go through Texas, Eric would come and play. He'd bring this little beat up deluxe and a fuzz face and plug into it, and it sounded exactly the same as it does when he plugged into his Marshalls. It was exactly the same sound, literally no different.
That's amazing.
Man. Yeah, and it's the hands.
It's the hands. So this is where we end up at the end of our amp. So speaking of amps, in October, Guitar Talk will be broadcasting live from the LA Amp Show. John and Jamie, that's me and my buddy here, will be interviewing many of our friends in the guitar community in LA. We have some guests, Toshio from Exotic, Lonnie Spector, the person who's the person who puts on the Amp Show every year for all you folks, and a number of surprise guests will be dropping in. Please come by and see us. And we will be talking about many amps then because you'll be able to come and experience lots and lots of amps. In the meantime, please continue to tell your friends about Guitar Talk. Let them know about our Facebook page. Have them subscribe on our WordPress. And, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to email us or post a comment on the WordPress blog. And we will do our best to answer it in a future show. What do you think?
I really like what you've done with the place here. Got any food in that fridge?
Yes, that non sequitur has been brought to you by Guitar Talk with John and Jamie and Couchsurfing USA. We look forward to hearing from you and look forward to another episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie later.
So long.
See ya.
There's some of the music
plays out. Yeah, this is our usual rambling part at the end.
Playing out.
Okay.
All right.
Guitar Talk with John and Jamie is proud to be sponsored by the LA Amp and Custom Guitar Show. For more information, please visit ampshow.com.